Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast, episode 16, and we're talking about Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which was announced at Capcom's annual Captivate event on the West Coast a couple of weeks ago. And this week, I am joined by several special guests. Just in case you don't know who I am Editor-in-Chief Lindsay Mosley. And I'm joined by my usual partner in crime, Jamie Mosley, who's the associate editor.
Yo, what's up?
And this week I'm also joined by contributing editor, Brandon Beatty, who's making his first appearance.
Hey, Jerry's, how you doing?
Hey. So, the three of us actually run Gaming Insurrection. We write stories, we contribute. I do layout, photos, all the multimedia stuff, but these guys do the grunt work. I kind of sort of roped them into doing it, but they contribute stories and come up with ideas for stories that they want to do. So they decided they wanted to be in on the podcast this week. So, you know, usually Jamie joins me, but Brandon, since we're in my hometown and we're with contributing editor Beatty here, he decided he wanted to join us.
Yeah, I wanted to get in on a little action.
Yeah, I see that. So, we were talking about MVC 3, something that a lot of people did not think would ever happen. And just to give you a little background, just from what I know personally, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out in February of 2000, and in the arcades at least. In June of 2000 for Dreamcast. But a couple of years after that, they lost the license. Capcom lost the license. And so Activision picked up that license. And a couple other companies had got a little taste of it too. But Activision was one of the main ones. And so there were a couple of games produced by Activision for the license. And then, apparently, Capcom got the license back. Because it had been rumored for a couple of years, at least, that MVC 3 was coming out. And so, but, you know, nobody ever paid really any attention. I mean, some people did, but not a whole lot. People weren't really banking on it because MVC 2 was still pretty popular, and it still is. People still play it. It still played competitively. But once 3 came out, 3 was announced, you know, everybody was like, oh, this is hot. So, I don't know. James, what do you think?
I don't think Capcom kind of lost licenses. I know that since they had their string of Marvel games, I think Capcom and Marvel had a specific contract that they had through a long term that they had to do. And I think at the end of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, that contract had run out with specifically just Capcom doing games. Because Activision picked up, and as you can tell now, Activision does have the license for Marvel, but they're not the only one.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of other Marvel games come out. Sega did some and everything, so I don't think it's necessarily have to do with they lost the license for it. I think their contract ran out, and this one, being Marvel vs. Capcom 3, is probably something they want to work on, and it's just probably one of those individual licenses. Maybe a bid for Capcom to say, hey, we want to be specific when you think about Marvel games now. You know, you think about Capcom, that's the only ones who could do it. So I think that's what this is about.
Well, also, I think they went back to Capcom because they know Capcom has experience doing it, and also they saw Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
That's true. One thing I think what Marvel doesn't want people to do, to forget about, they had a lot of fans, and of course there's some great Marvel games out there now. Like I played a lot of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I ain't gonna lie about that. I played it a lot, and it was a great game. But when it comes down to it, people still want to play their superheroes in a fighting game, and Marvel knows that. They're not stupid. Of course, Marvel's also to the point of, you can come up with anything that has Marvel characters in it and they make money off of it, Marvel's gonna give it to you anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I think that's what this boiled down to it. Now, the key is, does Capcom have the correct formula and getting the perfect Marvel people on the game with them to help them out?
Yeah, I was wondering about that too. What do you think, Brenda?
It's, to be honest with you, Lindsay, I think this is could be Capcom's chance to get back into good graces of Marvel. Before that time, as Jamie stated, Marvel and Capcom, they have collaborated on many games such as Marvel Superheroes vs. Street Fighter, Marvel Superheroes, X-Men Children of the Atom, which was an arcade game that was available for PS1 and Dreamcast.
It was on Saturn.
But it also, they actually established a firm partnership at the time. It was basically the first time a major international developer like Capcom status meeting up with Marvel. It was basically an East meets West collaboration. And when Marvel lost, Capcom lost the license, of course, Marvel became somewhat of a franchise player. They can take their stuff, go to different developers, make some cash. But at the same time, when you have Marvel versus Capcom 3, a whole lot of people, a whole lot of fans, both Marvel fans, Capcom fans, and both fans in between, saying, okay, this is something that we want. Let's go for the third ride. And I think with Capcom, they wanted this. They basically wanted to keep Marvel for a long time. But I think this may be the formula. If, knowing Capcom, in my personal opinion, with some of their games like Street Fighter or Mega Man series, it really has not been very well on the promotion. Like, before we got on to the podcast, I was talking with you and Jamie about how they promote the games, like a 20-second commercial. But at the same time, if you know how they do things in Japan, they basically have full support of major businesses and for major events. And if Capcom and Marvel get the right people in, get right PR, get the right promotions on how to promote the game, that will be key. That will definitely help bring this game back to graces. Mm. And now you have it for both. We've already been confirmed for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. As for other formats, that we just kind of have to say wait and see. But again, Capcom and Marvel, this would, when they hear Marvel vs. Capcom 3, people are going to pick up on it, flat out.
Mm.
And if they plan out with the characters, I mean, so far we've seen with Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 5, and with Incredible Hulk, we also seen a couple of characters, Iron Man with Morgan, and Ryu versus Wolverine. I mean, that's basically top franchise players alone by themselves. Actually, just everybody knows. But you put them in that game, in that fighting similarity, see who would be the best of the best, it's a party, flat out.
You're saying, Jamie?
Oh, I'm just saying they really don't have to market the game that much. I mean, like you said earlier, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 came out in 2000. Just last year in 2009, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was put on Xbox Live. Instantly sold. People have been playing this game for 10, going on 11 years now. I mean, so all you have to say was Marvel vs. Capcom 3. People automatically going to buy it.
Yeah. I, for one, have to say, having been at one point very amateurish, competitive player in MVC2, I had long since stopped playing MVC2, you know, where I cared, because I grew to dislike the game a great deal. I loved the first game a lot more than I loved the second game, and the second game just kind of turned me against playing it. But, I mean, we do still play it, and there are videos of us playing, and, you know, some matches we took in July of last year of two high-level players from Fayetteville playing. But I just couldn't get into it. I really stopped liking 2. But as soon as they announced 3, I was like, okay, yeah, I'm probably going to start playing again. Because, you know, it's a new day. It's a new game, new day. It might actually be playable, and, you know, tiers might be decent in it again. But the thing, though, Brandon, you were saying about how they brought back these characters. See, these characters, you have to remember, these characters you mentioned, like Wolverine, Ryu,
right.
Morgan.
Those are just the moneymakers.
Yeah, those are the moneymakers, and they've always been in Marvel vs. Capcom, except for, well, in the Marvel Versus series, except with the exception of Morgan. She didn't debut until, excuse me, I know better, I'm a copy editor. She did not have her debut until Marvel vs. Capcom, the very first Marvel vs. Capcom. So she was kind of late to the game, but the thing was, like everybody else, Wolverine, Ryu, Captain America, who else? Who else was introduced? Iron Man?
Iron Man was in.
Well, you know, Iron Man was in, he was in Marvel Superheroes.
Deadpool.
Well, Deadpool is, yeah, Deadpool's been confirmed. And the thing about Deadpool is, I remember reading some years ago in a fact that, someone had written on Game Facts that in place of Cable, they wanted to add Deadpool.
Right.
But Deadpool would have broken the game if they had put him in Marvel vs. Capcom 2. He would have broken the game because there would have been no way that you could fight against him without him, you know, having all his high-tech weaponry and killing people.
Exactly.
So, they didn't put him in. They put Cable in instead. Well, Cable broke the game anyway, so they could have put Deadpool in.
Exactly. It's always about finding the right characters, the right power, star power, for these games.
Yeah.
And that means, but then again, this is Capcom and Marvel. They basically have the ability to figure out how we can make this game great while skimping out on the basics. The people want to see their favorite characters. And while at times it's not, it may not always be possible, I mean, we may be asking for a big wish list. However, Capcom and Marvel have, I believe they have the means to pull it off. It's going to take some tinkering, because even with Cable, I mean, like you say, with Cable, with his way he could have broken the game with his gadgetry, and we all follow him from the X-Men and so on. He's actually one of those easy players, those type of characters players want to get. Say, oh, I can get him. I can beat the game easily. And when that happens, a whole lot of people are not disappointed. They'd be thinking, okay, well, I wasted money on. This game and have a character that is so powerful that he has no challenge.
Well, Cable was an example of someone you could pick up the game with if you were just learning how to play it.
Exactly.
And learn how to play Cable, but he could be played at an advanced level.
Exactly.
But Cable was obnoxious. And don't get me wrong, I play Cable because Cable's like the anchor on my team. I have team Mercenary, which is Ruby Heart, Doom, and Cable, because, you know, Ruby Doom is like a team by itself. But I play that team with Cable as the anchor to come in and do what he gotta do, because, you know, Ruby Doom builds a meter for him.
Right.
But Cable represented everything that was, for me, he represented everything that was wrong with the game. Like, I was like, okay, I get it, Cable's powerful. Okay, he's supposed to be.
Exactly.
He's the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey from an alternate timeline. Well, actually, no, I'm sorry, not Jean Grey. He's the son of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor from the Earth 616 timeline, sent to the future, and then, like, you know, his parents, Madeline Pryor didn't raise him. Scott and Jean went to the future with Mother Ascani and raised him. Okay, I get all this. Like, yeah, if y'all haven't picked up on it, read and listen to our strip podcast and read our content from the strip, and you can see, like, we're huge comic book fans here. So, I mean, we know the origins of, like, characters and stuff. But, Cable for me, even though he was supposed to be powerful, I mean, you know, he kind of was, like, you know, supposed to be infected with the Messiah complex. He was supposed to be infected with the techno-organic virus by Apocalypse. Like, Apocalypse is not going to mess with you if you are not, like, big deal. So, because he was told some prophecy or whatever that Cable was going to come and screw up his plans for his Age of Apocalypse nonsense. So, but my thing is, okay, so I get it. Like, Cable is huge.
Right.
He's supposed to be a big deal. He's supposed to be powerful. He's supposed to be, you know, like a big name in the game. But he took over the game. Like, everybody and their daddy had to play Cable. And that was what made me mad, because then I had to learn how to play Cable. Because everybody was playing Cable. Where I was from, which is Columbia, in Columbia, South Carolina, everybody and their daddy knew how to play Cable. Especially in Columbia in general, and in South Carolina in general, like, Cable was beast. Cable was like the go-to character here.
Exactly. He was like, okay, we're thinking power. You want a game? You want a game winner? You chose Cable.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm thinking, me personally, my favorite was actually Hulk. I was thinking Hulk was me. I mean, when I played it, to me, I thought Hulk was in my opinion, the game changer. But when you played him against Cable, it was like, I got my behind kicked so many times. I was like, okay, how can this character be that strong? It's insane.
With Cable, and you have to remember, we're all Americans. So what Americans do, they find a guy, or find anyone on a game,
right,
that can do a lot of damage
quickly
without actually taking that much damage. And that's the ones Americans going to play the most.
Exactly. Yeah. Cable takes average damage, for those of you who do not know. But Cable gives out above average damage when you play him correctly and you're, one, don't ever do any ground Viper beams or any ground Hyper Viper beams. And, you know, stay away from Time Flip or Time Slip or however you want to pronounce it. The thing about Cable that got me was that, yeah, in America, Cable was ridiculous. He was ridiculous. Just ridiculous. People play Cable just to play Cable. Mm. Because he was overpowering in the game. But you go to Japan, Cable's not even that popular. He alright, but people don't be all excited about Cable.
In Japan, Dawson was the game breaker.
Yeah. Got Dawson. Dawson was game breaker because of his teleport.
Teleport, you couldn't really jump at him at all, whatsoever. There's no point in even trying to jump in and do a combo. So, I mean, Dawson was game-breaking.
Also, see, the thing about, you have to understand about Cable here in America, Americans were the ones that came up with the chart on how Cable beat everybody in the game, except himself.
I do not remember that doggone chart. It was like...
Well, the thing about Cable was that Cable beats Cable. If you got two Cable players playing against each other, and they're of equal skill, chances are it's automatic. I mean, Cable will beat Cable, but
whoever pulls off that first super is the one gonna win.
Yeah, if they're of equal skill, and whoever gets off that first Hyper Viper Beam, I mean, especially if they know how to Tiger Knee it, if you can Tiger Knee your Air Hyper Viper Beam, and get four successive ones off in a row, you pretty much won. Because then you've taken Cable out of the equation.
Exactly.
So, but the thing about that was, Cable beats everybody, including himself, except for Spiral. Cable does not beat Spiral. But, because Spiral can just teleport out of the way. She teleports behind him, grabs him, does whatever she needs to do. Then starts up Wall of Swords again, if she can.
Exactly.
But, yeah, Cable beats everybody. Cable beats Iron Man, because I've watched that match before, and that did not end well for Iron Man.
I've seen that match before, and it was like, Tony Stark's got his behind beaten. And That was just sad. I was like...
Cable just completely destroys Iron Man, because it takes too much time to get Proton Cannon off. He can easily Tiger Knee an Air Hyper Viper Beam and hit him before he can even finish, calling out Proton Cannon. It appearing on his arm, like he's already shot. He beats Sentinel, because Sentinel can fly and get around him a little bit, but Cable can still shoot him before he can get off flying and calling out the Sentinel drones. What is it called? The Hyper Sentinel Force. Excuse me. It's Hyper Sentinel Force. I should know better than this. But he beats Doom. He beats Ruby Heart. And he beats Ruby Heart really bad. I know this because as a Ruby Heart fan and a Ruby Heart player, Ruby Heart gets ate up by Air Hyper Viper Beam. Just ate up. She can't even, do half her... Matter of fact, she can't do any of her supers against him if he's in the air. Like, it's not even going, you're just not going to do anything.
Exactly. And when you bring it back with a character like Cable, Marvel and Capcom will have to put in some type of limits. In other words, he can be powerful, but he cannot be so powerful he's just...
Well, I don't even think Cable's going to be in this one.
I don't think he's going to be in there, but I don't think he was powerful. It's just the way Americans were playing him. Keep away.
Exactly. Yeah. Cable is all about keep away.
And the only person you can get over there is someone you have had a beam to get over there as fast. But that was all they played. Not everyone played it, but most people who played Cable played him as keep away.
Oh, I'd be the first one to admit I played Cable as keep away, because I would call Doom. I would have Doom as my assist, Cable on point. Call Doom's rocks, throw a electric trap down, grenade thing, and gunshots. Never ever would I even begin to think about doing a Viper beam on the ground. But I would consistently jump in, throw, jump kick,
right,
and possibly get the combo off. If I can do a crouching short, I'm trying to think how this works. Crouching short, standing, fierce, roundhouse into an air hyper viper beam, I set you up. You are already going. You're gonna take at least two of the beams, so you might as well prepare for that. You're gonna lose half life just from that by itself. But yeah, Cable in America, and that was the whole strategy with Cable. You could even do that combo into a scimitar into air hyper viper beam if you could cancel scimitar fast enough. Most people can. I cannot. I can't even get scimitar off half the time on purpose. So, but that's the whole thing about Cable, is that it was the way people play Cable that made him so game-breaking. I have to agree, Jamie. He was completely game-breaking based on where you were in the country.
That's true. I mean, it just depends on how the person was playing against him, because when the game first came out, no one really played Cable as much. Because everyone played everyone else It wasn't until
Evo.
People start noticing other people combos and how they're playing keep away, that it realized, he can shoot you from all the way across on the other side and recover before you can do anything.
Well,
before people start doing that.
People, I noticed when people noticed that Cable, I'm trying to think, when was the emergence of Cable as a viable character? It was early when the game first came out.
It just seemed to happen all at one time.
Yeah, we started playing in February. We went to the first tournament in March. I went to my first tournament March the 6th. I remember that. Because my car was acting crazy on I-26, which in 5 o'clock traffic, I was trying to get out to Columbiana Mall in Harbison on 26, on I-26. And I couldn't even get out. I mean, I barely made it because I was in 5 o'clock traffic and my car decided to act stupid. So, I remember trying to get out there, and I got to the tournament, and not too many people were playing Cable at that point. I hadn't really solidified my team just yet. I was playing Ruby Doom already, because I'd already started with Ruby Heart and Doom. But I had like a Kuma. And so, it was after that tournament that I switched to Cable. But that was only because I'd gone to this tournament somewhere between then and, like, May. And people were starting to play with Cable, and they were doing all kinds of stuff with Cable. Cable and Storm. Storm was already pretty popular. Not a whole lot of Sentinel players just yet, either. I noticed that, too. Cable and Sentinel came around about the same time. Magneto, too. Magneto came first, though. Where people were picking up Magneto and learning how to play with him. But I really don't think that...
They started playing with Cable because that was the easiest way to kill off Magneto.
Yeah, because Magneto would just come in and do hypergraph combos.
If you kill Magneto off from the distance, he can't get to you and do any damage.
Nope. Because Magneto is definitely an up-close character. But I noticed that once Cable started picking up, everybody in America was playing Keep Away. It wasn't until months later that I'd even heard that Dalsim was top tier in Japan. That Cable, to my surprise, Cable was not top tier in Japan. Magneto kind of is still. He's top tier everywhere. Storm is too. She's pretty popular, on both sides. But really, I noticed the emergence of Cable was after the summer tournaments for the B-Series, when it was still the B-Series. and specifically at B3 and B4. Possibly, it was probably just B4. I can't remember when B3 was exactly, but probably B4 on the West Coast is when everybody was like, oh my gosh, Cable is blown up. You have to learn how to play Cable. Like, it was almost mandatory based on people watching these videos and watching these matches at the B series before it became Evolution, where Cable just, like, dominated ridiculously.
Well, I don't know. I mean, through the whole time I played, I mean, I played Cable and everything because I played against a lot of people Cable, but I never played Cable seriously. I mean, my team's always been Juggernaut, Sabretooth, and either Hulk or Colossus, depends on how I want to change it up, but that's just me.
Yeah.
And same thing with me, Jamie. Basically, most of the time I've played, I would have either, I would have Wolverine and Mega Man. I mean, sometimes, and that's just the normal two people I count on to for the game. I mean, so rarely I'll put in a third character. I did put in a third character. It'll maybe be, Storm. Or basically, I would try to make it based on a real strong team. I want strength, I want speed, and I also want a strategy. That's how I would play it. But then, and sometimes, even with that, Cable was still at a time a character that was so pumped up. It put me to shame. And I was like, okay, how? I was like, how could they make, he was this really strong. Mm-hmm. But again, it's just, somehow it all depends on how Capcom and Marvel put in the characters, who's going to be the best characters for the game. And then again, in my opinion, if they do add Cable as a part of downloadable content, fine, but as long as it's not making him so strong that he's going to take over, then it's going to be a good game overall. I've seen the trailer, and it started off real smoothly with Wolverine, Ryu fighting on the treetops, got Iron Man, Morgan fighting in the air. But the thing that really pointed out to me this time, the Incredible Hulk versus Chris Redfield from Resident Evil 5. And I was like, okay, Chris Redfield is dodging the Hulk, but he's going to go after him with a gun. And I was like, you don't necessarily go after someone like Hulk with a gun. People have tried.
But Jill did. Jill Valentine.
That's the only
reason why they even put Chris in this one.
I mentioned Tyrant.
Yeah. And Tyrant.
Yeah, and I remember Jill Valentine having her special weapon, like a rocket launcher.
Also had her gun as a counter.
And also had Tyrant.
But she had her guns as a special counter. Like, if you could do the counter and you hit her,
exactly,
she push you back and say, hold it, and then she starts shooting you. But I didn't. I mean, I played a little bit of Jill Valentine because I loved her punch super.
Yeah.
Where when she did the shoulder rush at you, it was pretty decent. I liked Jill, and I thought she was a good addition. It's just you could see Tyrant super coming a mile away.
Yeah.
And
well, that was just put in there just for fan favorites. I mean, that's the only reason they put that in there. I mean, a lot of the times they put their supers in there, and it's really just for fans. They know it's not effective during gameplay.
Yeah.
But it's always funny to see when someone gets hit by those, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you got hit by the Tyrant super, I want to call it Tyrant Slaughter, because I'm thinking of Urien from Street Fighter 3. But it would be hilarious, because then you could jump up once he hit him, and you could put in the motion for the grenade launcher super and kill the tyrant with the grenade launcher, which is hilarious. But I like Jill a little bit.
I don't think she's going to be in this one since they got Chris in there.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I am happy about the fact that Dante is in it, though. From Devil May Cry.
Have they announced him?
Yeah, he's confirmed. Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow, really? Because I hadn't seen that. They had not. I noticed that they had. See, when they first announced the roster, it was, people were having to guess based on the pictures and all. And supposedly Frank West is supposed to be in it, too. From, what's the game? You know, you played it.
Dead Rising.
Yeah, from Dead Rising, yeah.
Dead Rising.
He's supposed to be, they haven't confirmed him, but it's pretty much like he's probably going to be in it.
Exactly.
But, I don't know, I didn't know that, I kind of figured that Dante would be because he's a popular Capcom character.
Exactly.
That's that's what Capcom would do. They only put it in their fan favorites and all this stuff, you know, and they keep bringing it up. So I can definitely see Dante being in it.
Any rival schools, folks?
Not that I know of, and they haven't confirmed anything. But although they said they got 30 people in the game, knowing Capcom being the way they are, man, fans coming out saying we should have this character and this character,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure the game will grow at about the size of what Marvel vs. Capcom 2 will be.
Yeah, well, 56 characters, which is ridiculous when, like, 10 of the 56 were tournament useful.
Only if you're in America.
That's true. It's only in America.
But I agree with Jamie on this one. Basically, we're having fan favorites, such as rival schools, for if you may have get Bato or Sakura.
I wish they would put some rival schools folks in, but you know,
they should.
You know who I really wanted was, as Jamie pointed out when we first met, you know, Jetta would be awesome from the Darkstalkers Vampire series.
He would be awesome, but, and it is possible they could put him in, but I also can see that since they put him in and have him do exact same things that he did in the Darkstalkers series, that he would be completely broken.
Yeah.
Because he has one super that you have to know that is going to hit you, and it's almost instantaneous, and the other one you can't block. So,
yeah.
He will be Capcom's equivalent of Cable, technically, on, doesn't matter where you will play it at, whether it's Japan or America, because every video I've seen people playing Jetta have all been extremely aggressive, and it's really nothing you can do. He's just that fast.
Yeah.
Actually, by the way, for our listeners, I could not think of the guy's name who, in an earlier podcast, I think it was the Street Fighter podcast, I think episode 14, that I couldn't think of the guy's name who pulled off the counter against Justin Wong, where he was playing with Chun-Li, and, he was playing with Ken, and Justin Wong was playing with Chun-Li, and he parried all of Chun-Li's kick super in Street Fighter 3. His name is Diego Yumihara, if I'm pronouncing his last name correctly, which I'm probably not. But he has a website up. He also plays lots of Darkstalkers / Vampire. He's really, really good. And I could not remember his name to save my life. I could see his face in my mind and, because I just read something about where he was promoting Mad Catz products. And he's big in the Street Fighter community now. They battle quite often, actually. And that was in 2004 when he did the parrying thing. But it was not episode 14. It was episode 13 where we were talking about Street Fighter. But yeah, his name is Diego, and he is Japanese. He has a website, so see if you can find him. Just type in Street Fighter 3 Chun-Li Perry or something, or Ken parrying Chun-Li, and you'll probably find him. If you type in Justin Wong and Chun-Li and Perry, you'll probably pull up the video. It's definitely on YouTube, because I've watched it like a million times on YouTube. But, definitely, he's one of the big Jetta players. He actually plays a lot of Jetta, and he was one of the ones that made me think maybe Jetta should be in. I had to agree with Jamie at that point that maybe Jetta should be in Marvel vs. Capcom, but I don't know. Like, yeah, Jetta would probably be game breaking. I'm pretty certain too. He would be game breaking. Most rival schools characters, you'd have to beef up their supers a little bit, but not too much, because it already plays like a versus game. It plays more like a mix between, if you can imagine, Alpha 3 and the Versus series. It plays a lot like that with tardy counters, which is like kind of a cross between parries and alpha counters. Except you can do anything you want after a tardy counter. But that's a little crash course for those of you who don't play Rival Schools. All two of you. But
if you don't play it, if you have not played it, please get a copy. If you can, play Rival Schools, play Project Justice. It's still one of the fundamentals of Capcom's enter into the fighting series.
It's one of their better fighting game series. I actually prefer it to Street Fighter, which is crazy because it's based off of Street Fighter. Also, for those of you who don't know, we have done our first game night, which is Jamie and I playing whatever game it is we feel like playing together and recording ourselves playing it. And we feature split-screen play. And that is now up on YouTube. You can see it on our YouTube account at a user Gaming Insurrection. We played Project Justice in our very first one. And that should tell you how much we really like Project Justice. Both of us actually really like the series. So, you know, I got into Project Justice Rival Schools when it came out in America in like 97, 98. I vaguely remember it coming out, and a friend of mine now, who I used to date way back in the day, actually got me into the game, and it stuck with me as a favorite. So I'm kind of hoping to see some of them in MVC3. Like, Capcom tries to forget that they own Rival Schools and Project Justice for some reason. I'm not sure why, but they do try to act like they don't own it anymore, even though it's their creation and it's theirs.
I got a great view on that one, Lindsay. Another thing that will kind of get me with Marvel vs. Capcom is the voicing. The voices, who will be doing the voices of Capcom and Marvel characters. I mean, I don't know what they set up with the original Japanese voice actors, or they get a new cast here for the States.
Well, you know, the whole thing about the Marvel vs. Capcom series is that the Marvel characters were all voiced by their TV show counterparts from X-Men, the animated series.
Exactly. And with Wolverine, say for instance, everybody knows that basically the new voice of Wolverine is Steven Bloom. And for those who don't know Steve, he's actually known for characters such as Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, or Orochimaru from the Naruto series, or Ryder Smith from the Big O. But he is now the voice of Wolverine in the new series that's on Nicktoons Network, Wolverine and the X-Men.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I thought, because then, didn't the guy who originally did his voice die? Cathal J. Todd or something like that? I do believe he died.
Yeah, but
he was awesome.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure what Capcom would just do like they did in the last couple games. They just reused the voice files again for Wolverine. They won't change anything with Wolverine. Daredevil. Deadpool, on the other hand, since Deadpool actually was in a Marvel movie recently, so they'll have that guy doing that for us.
Oh, Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
Who you loved at one point. Yeah. What was that all about? He saw him in Blade and was like, this guy is awesome.
Exactly.
He's always been a good actor, so. But yeah, that's all Capcom would do, because Capcom's about making good games and everything, but spending the least amount available to them.
It's all about don't spend all that money on their games now. But yeah, when he saw him, he pulled a scooter from Borderlands. He was like, get you one. This is awesome.
The thing is with me, when it comes down to voice acting, I mean, it is going to be pretty good, because at the same time, if most people do not know, Steve and a lot of other anime actors, I would say, for example, like Johnny Bosch or Ruben Langren, who was the voice of Virgil. No, I'm sorry, that's Daniel Silver. He's the voice of Virgil in Devil May Cry, and they actually hired those guys to be the voices in the Devil May Cry series. I'm not saying there's a guarantee that Steve Bloom will be, he may be the new voice of Wolverine, but he may not make it into the game. Still, this is Capcom's call. This is basically the call between Capcom and Marvel, and it will be good. They got the great amount of voice talent. I mean, it will make it more interesting.
I can care less about the voice talent than anything. I don't care what language they speak in. In fact, you even have them speaking in Spanish, it'd be better for me. I'm saying is,
come on!
I do not want any more elevator music while I'm beating somebody up. There's no need for New Orleans time jazz be going on and people were getting killed.
Hey, but you was talking about New Orleans, but apparently New Orleans Jazz is not that bad when you're fighting zombies.
Exactly.
In Left 4 Dead 2.
No, it's not, because, you know, you need a good beat and everything, boom, 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 when you're killing somebody using guns and they're running at you screaming. But when you're going around talking about Shinku, hearing Shinku Hadouken, and then go, and you hear, din, 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 din. Din, 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 din. It's like elevating music. It's like, okay.
Hey, all right. I had to, you know what? I heard the music so much. It actually doesn't even bother me anymore. Like, I don't even, I know the cycle of the music in the game because I was at a tournament one weekend, one Saturday afternoon, because it's what I do with my spare time in college. I was at a tournament in Charlotte. I was there for 18 hours. I heard that damn music for 18 hours straight. I ate nachos while listening to that music for 18 hours straight. I actually talked to one of my friends, and probably the future godfather of my babies, who was hopped up on Mountain Dew and coffee beans. Pure coffee beans, mind you.
Oh my God. No, not pure coffee beans.
Pure coffee beans. He was just hopped up.
And then he just got like a bag of
coffee. He was literally eating a bag of coffee beans.
Oh my God.
I love him to death. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I love you, Kaya Hicks, if you can hear me. But I listened to Kaya rant about how much he hated Soul Calibur while listening to that music for 18 hours. Hmm. Now, I have to say, out of all of the stages, I do like the music for the deserted airship stage. The one that's called Swing Your Body. Because we all swore up and down that that guy was not saying, that the woman was not saying swing your body. It was more like sing nobody. I heard that music so much. You know, it really doesn't bother me anymore. Like, I don't, as a matter of fact, I really like the desert stage, too, with the guys in the background, and they're talking. And he's like, yo, man, what's up? I've never actually figured out what the guy is saying the whole time, other than that part. But I mean, I don't mind the music. I could ignore the music.
The music was absolutely horrible. It's like going to a Linkin Park concert. They get out there on stage, getting ready to perform, and they start singing songs from The Sound of Music. Music.
Hey, that's how bad Chester could do it. Chester could do it, because I love me some Chester Bennington.
Do you know how many fans will walk out of there as soon as he start doing that?
I don't know, man. Linkin Park got a huge following. And trust me, even if he got up there and started singing The Sound of Music, they would be like, that shit is hot.
The hills are alive with The Sound of Music. And all you're going to see is my birdie fingers going up and me going to the box office talking about, I want my damn money back.
No, I would listen to Chester. No. I would listen to Chester sing it, because he probably going to sing it nice.
When it comes down.
And Mr. Han probably going to have a nice little DJ table back there.
They ain't changing the music. They ain't changing anything about it. It's exactly like the music.
What?
Linkin Park coming out singing it. Exactly like
Mike Shinoda, too. Mike Shinoda ain't going to change nothing. Just so y'all know, we are huge Linkin Park fans.
It's like going to a Fear Factory concert.
Okay, now that's even worse. Fear Factory, God, yo.
Going to a Fear Factory concert, and they come out doing the nice movie versions of the song to The Lion King. All of them, you know, talking about the Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Can't you just see You Feel the Love Tonight in that scene from Mortal? And if you guys don't know about Fear Factory did the very awesome background music for, they used one of Fear Factory's songs on the Mortal Kombat movie soundtrack with the Scorpion Johnny Cage fight. Can't you just see Can You Feel the Love Tonight in that background music?
No.
That would be so hot.
No. I defy that. Please.
Yeah, I would defy every fiber of my body. That's like basically saying, you're starting that music, you're using Barney's theme song as a background. No, that would be insane. That would be cruel and unusual punishment.
But that's how that music was to me.
I could play the game all day long. Now I have the volume down so I can hear anything. If Capcom would have gave us that option, where we can turn off the music.
I would have liked that option. Yeah.
If we could turn off that music and just listen to it, because I would have turned down the music and
turned up the sound effects.
That's all I cared about. Other than that, no, I had to force myself to hit the mute button to play through the game and listen to other stuff going on.
Well, I don't, not that I really particularly advocate piracy and burning copies of games, but way back in the day, in the early part of the 2000 decade, I went to someone's house and we were playing MVC 2 because it was just a get together of a whole bunch of players. We just got together on the weekend and decided to play. They had a mix that they had done where they substituted the music and you could play. They had one that had a Linkin Park soundtrack put to it. They used Paper Cut by Linkin Park off of Hybrid Theory. And the Character Select theme song was a rap remix of the Street Fighter theme, the Street Fighter 2 theme, which was hot, okay? But they used, and it was crucial, the reason why I remember this is because I remember I was at the guy's house, and the mix, when they picked, somebody had Cable on point, and somebody else had Doom on point. And when Cable came out, it was the starting animation for Cable when he teleports in from, you know, wherever. And the music synced up perfectly. It was awesome. It was so awesome. I thought it was with that opening animation. I haven't tried to do it recently. I was trying to sync it up again and do it myself. But the music, it didn't really bother, like, I ignored it. I really did. I just ignored the music. Like, I didn't really pay it any attention. But I do have that one song. I do have Swing Your Body on my MP3 player because I actually really liked that stage. I thought it was pretty. But, you know, that's a girl for you. We think stages are pretty. So, but no, I mean, I didn't mind the music too much, but yeah, I didn't understand where they went from really, well, I know how they did it, because they could not do individual themes for people anymore. They couldn't. They really couldn't. But my thing was, how you go from these awesome individual themes based off of the people's games and things to this random elevator generated music that really don't really have anything to do with Marvel vs. Capcom. It really didn't. Yeah. I was like, really, come on, Capcom, really, this is crazy.
The only song that I actually could stomach on that whole entire game.
Which one?
When you're fighting against the Abyss.
Abyss? Yeah.
The Abyss music was decent. Yeah, I like that.
Only reason I said that is because it really wasn't out of place and you really didn't have to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
I like the Abyss music. I really did. With the very, as a matter of fact, the very first version of that stage, I liked it.
Maybe in this Marvel vs. Capcom 3, we'll have two bosses like they did in, which one was it? X-Men vs. Street Fighter. Marvel Super Heroes vs. Street Fighter, where you had to fight against Apocalypse and then Cyber Okuma.
I am the Apocalypse.
So maybe in this one they go back to that and have two bosses.
It just reminded me. Oh, boy, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. When I seen you play arcade versus Lindsay, I seen the Onslaught. I mean, I played Onslaught in the home version, but I wonder, will they actually bring him back? That was
No. Because Onslaught was a pain.
Yeah, he was kind of ferocious. He was a beast.
The thing about Onslaught was, the first form was usually the one that killed people the most.
First form was ridiculous because he just did all kinds of chip damage. You could never get a perfect against him, really. I mean, you could, but it would be very hard to get a perfect against the first form of Onslaught because he purposely did moves to chip you.
Right.
Everything he did was a super, so.
Yeah, it was purposely done to chip you, so you couldn't get away from unless you super jumped the crap out of him and you had to know the timing perfectly.
Even if you super jump or, you know, you flew, if you played War Machine, even you try to fly around him or anything, he still had magnetic shockwave, so he did that to make sure you didn't do anything. And not to mention, whenever he thought that you were not putting up enough challenge, he would just teleport away and send in one of those special characters.
Yeah, he would send the special computer controlled
versions. Yeah, I remember that. But I remember playing one night out at Frankie's in probably about 99, 2000. And the guy who I used to play Alpha 3 with all the time, he was the one told me, use Psylocke for first form. You could use a variety of people, but yeah. Psylocke seemed to be really good against first form of Onslaught. Yeah. I didn't like Onslaught, but getting back to the sound effects, that's what made Marvel vs. Capcom so hilarious. Because I know I've said this before, but I've gone and found the sound files for all of the Marvel vs. Capcom games because, one, I wanted to know what people were saying because you couldn't turn the music down. If I'd been able to turn the music down, I would have been able to hear what people were saying for years. But, I liked the sound effects better than I liked the music in the game. I really did, and it really added more to the game with the sound effects, you know. So I really do wish they would have given you that option, but maybe in MVC3, because so many people might ask for it, they might do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember one thing about Marvel vs. Capcom 2 with Onslaught. Basically, it's just how the sayings, the phrases, like you have.
In the first Marvel vs. Capcom.
I think it's in the second one. I really picked up on.
But Onslaught wasn't in the
first. Okay, I mean to imply that he wasn't the first Marvel vs. Capcom. I'm talking in the second. I'm talking basically, we had characters like Venom, and the Hulk. We are Venom. They bring out the trademark phrases.
We are Venom.
But then Onslaught said, "Behold the power of my hands," and I was like.
Actually, he said that in the first one. He was like, "Behold my mighty hand."
My hands, maybe.
Nobody's safe.
And I was like, he's ready to come in to kick my ass. I would be afraid if someone actually came down, was walking down the street and said it to me. No one is safe.
Actually, we just made up things because it was a lot funnier when you made up stuff.
Exactly. But I think right now is with. It's to me the story. I mean, when you had those sayings and it pointed it out, it made the game more enjoyable. It made it fun.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with
and that is the reason why I said I care less what language they're saying when whatever they're doing.
We saw the Spanish version of the arcade ROM, which was hilarious.
It was one of our sponsors playing trade.
But again, like I said, I could care less about if it was in Spanish or anything else because. You know, we're still going to hear strange things come out. You can even put it in English, and because words go through so fast, no one's going to... He didn't say that.
Well, we saw in the Spanish version, it had it in Spanish. The on-screen text was in Spanish, but he still said it in English. But we knew, because we played a lot of Marvel vs. Capcom, what he was saying. So it would have up there in Spanish, and I can't even remember what it is in Spanish, but he was saying, "Oh, what is safe?" And I was like, clearly... that is interesting.
It's still Disney nightmares.
What did we change some of them to? You said that Onslaught said nobody's safe.
He said nobody's safe.
I love that he said, "Behold my mighty hand."
Behold my mighty hand. Oh,
yeah, because you would hear him, and then you might see his hand come down.
Gave me a nightmare. Actually, one night I was like, "Okay, I don't want to. I want my butt to be saved. I like my butt."
Or the fact that when he did his eye beam, it always sounds like he's mumbling. "I beam."
He was saying, "I reject your presence."
But it always sounded like "I beam."
Yeah, I like Venom. And I realized after going back and reading about Venom that they had the reason why he says, we want to eat your brains is because there was a subplot in the comics about him stealing people's the symbiote made him want to eat brains. And so he was running around, you know, "We want to eat your brains."
I think he only ate like one person, but the symbiote developed a taste for it and liked it.
And made him it then made the dude who was supposed to be fixing it, the doctor, it then made him like that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I remember I went back and just read that about Venom recently at the Marvelpedia, but...
But, yeah, I mean...
Blackheart was funny.
I enjoyed listening to all the things, and I mean, although they were saying it in English, a lot of people had no idea what they were saying anyway, such as, you didn't realize the Iron Man was saying, or War Machine saying, saying it's my Sunday best.
Yeah, yeah, just a subplot on that. We did not know for years. We were trying to figure out. Matter of fact, we just saw a friend of ours, a really good friend of mine, Elgin, who I used to play with all the time. We would play MVC, MVC 2 together, Alpha 3, if he decided he felt like playing Alpha 3 that day. Capcom versus SNK, we would play that stuff together. And I met him playing Marvel versus Capcom 2. And he encouraged me to play Ruby Heart. Because he was like, she's awesome, you need to play Ruby Heart. And I was like, okay. But we just saw him recently at NashiCon. It's the first time I'd seen him in at least 10 years. It was almost at least 10 years, I'm pretty certain. But he and I trying to figure out what the characters were saying one night. And he was the one told me, you know, I think War Machine says 8x10 photo. And I was like, 8x10 photo? What? Why would he say 8x10 photo? And it turns out years later, I met my husband. And I said, you know, because it turns out we both play Marvel versus Capcom. And we really like the game. So we're sitting there playing one day. And I said, so, Jamie, what do you think War Machine's saying? And he's like,
I told her, I said, I don't think. I know he's saying it's my Sunday best.
I was like, nah, he ain't saying it's my Sunday best. He ain't saying that. For real, really, he's not saying that. It sounded like he's saying 8x10 photo. And Jamie makes this face that he's making right now. He looks at me like, you got to be kidding me. Really? You really think that? And so, it been... probably another, it was just last year that I found this.
Another 4 years going by.
Yeah, 4 years goes by, and we've played like millions of matches together, okay? Played against millions of people. So, one day, and I have been looking for 4 years, I've been looking for the sound files, because since Mugen had come out, I was like, somebody has got to have ripped these files. Somebody, somewhere, has ripped these files and put them somewhere. They've got to. Because it's a popular fighting simulator for your computer. So, you know, somebody has had to rip this so that when you do official characters from MVC2, there are sound files to go with it. The right sound files. Okay, and we ain't talking about the Juggernaut bitch version for Juggernaut. Okay? We talking about the actual real Juggernaut voice from that was used in the game. So, I went and found these sound files. I looked up one day and found them. After 4 years of searching, I found this online. So I downloaded all the ones that I wanted. I downloaded a huge sound file pack. And first one I checked was Iron Man and War Machine. I went to War Machine's first because I was like, I've got to figure out what War Machine is saying. So I listened to it, and it's wiped clean of music. There's no music in the background. It's just him talking. And he says, you can hear him clearly say, it's my Sunday best, Proton Cannon. And I'm like, what the hell? He really is saying it's my Sunday best? And so then he says to me, when he gets home from work, Jamie says, I says, you know, honey, come listen to this. He really is saying it's my Sunday best. And he just looked at me and he was like, woman, I told you this 4 years ago. And so he says, because, as he found out later on, War Machine had been fighting someone in the comic books at church. He was at church and somebody attacked him. And asked him about his suit or something.
And he said something about it. I'm going to give you my Sunday best. It's my Sunday best. And he shot him with a beam. So, they just added, it's my Sunday best, and put a proton cannon with it.
Yeah. And I was like, really? But, yeah, it was, And I still have them somewhere. But the other ones we're trying to figure out, and I listened to Cable's, because I was desperately trying to figure out what Cable was saying. Because it could go either way. I have Cable somewhere, and I can't remember what I did with it. But Cable says either, see, I'm trying to figure out, does it say time flip or time slip? Hmm. Which of the two is it? It's one
Very
of the two.
Interesting. Very it's, interesting.
It's one of the two.
He's probably saying both.
Yeah, I think he goes back and forth. And when he lets his arm out in his wind pose, does he say, what does he say? Does he say, that's enough for now? Or does he say, hope enough for now? I've heard hope before. I have actually heard hope enough for now.
Me too. I think he says, open up for now.
Does he say, open up for now? When he's stretching out his arm, you know, he's letting his... Because he has to use telekinesis to keep his arm from keep the techno-organic virus he was infected with by Apocalypse from taking over. So
I don't think it's hope.
I don't know. I never could tell because every machine I've ever played on, it's been muffled.
Now, the thing I love is, and I know they're speaking in Japanese and I can care less, and we even know what they're saying, but when Ken and you are doing their, as Americans call, hurricane kick. The Takemaki Senpuyaku. It depends on which game it is. We always come up with different strange things for it.
You and Ted did, didn't you?
Yeah, all of us just did crazy stuff. Ted, Kaylin, and everything. We all came up with strange stuff. And I can't remember which one of the Versus game it was, but Ryu says it's so slow. And Ted, I remember Ted saying, I've not had food yet. And we couldn't understand what he was talking about. But then we realized he says it every single time he was doing the game. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it does sound like he says, I've not had food yet.
When he switches back, when he's, you know, no change. What is it? What did they call it? Something changed Ryu from the first Marvel vs. Capcom. We swore down, he was saying, when he switches back to Ryu, he says, with a quickness. With the quickness, and I was like, what? Marvel vs. Capcom, the first Marvel vs. Capcom was the one that had all the stuff in it.
In all the games, I mean, even if you listen to the Darkstalker stuff, there's so much stuff being said at one time, you have no idea, and you just start making up stuff. That makes, to me, that makes the game far more entertaining than when you start doing stuff like that. So I can't imagine what Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is going to have, especially when you have Chris Redfield, which obviously everyone will be able to understand, but
what's that?
He's going to come out and say all kind of crazy stuff. Not to mention, you know, since they claimed that Capcom was being racist by having Chris going to Africa and shooting black zombies. I'm guessing he's not going to say anything racist.
It's sad. You had Jill Valentine say, what's that? You're finished.
Only thing I wish they had about Jill on there was when she had that shoulder rush super with all that fire and everything, I just said, I wish she really did have that in Resident Evil going down that hallway. That'd have been perfect.
Yes. Or in Resident Evil 3, which I played the living hell out of. And every time, I mean, it would be nice to see her go up against Nemesis with all that firepower, and Nemesis keeps running away, comes up, she gets knocked down.
Come on. I was like, oh my God.
Just runs away and say, I'm not messing with her. I'm just going to, let me find somewhere else to go. But when you think about Marvel, and the thing is about Marvel vs. Capcom, again, it comes back to two prompt, basically, big time guys. You got Marvel, well known, established in the comic book industry, world known, worldwide known. When you hear Marvel, everybody knows it's Marvel Comics. But Capcom, you know it's Capcom because you got video game characters like Mega Man, you got Ryu, Chris Redfield. It's going to be interesting. To me, I think it's going to be interesting. And the same time is, it like the like Capcom's recent new game came out. Now talking Street Fighter 4 or Super Street Fighter 4. We're talking Capcom versus Tatsunoko. If they add more characters, I mean, add more stages, I mean, it would be interesting to add that on there. But we can confirm for right now that it's basically for next gen. So PlayStation 2 owners, if you're thinking that you may get like a port,
sorry to tell you, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's basically will be for PS3 and Xbox 360. Now, I'm thinking it could be some capabilities for the PlayStation Network and for Xbox Live. We don't know which ones yet. We'll keep an eye. We'll hear any more. We'll definitely give you an update. But, again, Marvel vs. Capcom, they actually listened and said, look, players want this. We're fiending. This is basically like giving them Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was like a drug. This was like a habit. They want more Marvel versus Capcom, just drooling for it. And once you get enough of the games like that, you don't go. You just, it's a very hard habit to break.
Yeah.
You actually had some people actually go riots, actually saying, I want a Marvel vs. Capcom 3, 4.
I don't think they're going to do a 4. But I think also, by the way, just to get back to the background effects, Mega Man was the other one I had the question about.
I don't think it was a question. I actually like what you said about Mega Man.
It's the goody mob. We were standing in the arcade one night playing, and he's like, it's the goody mob. Because I played with Mega Man in the first Marvel vs. Capcom. He's one of my favorite characters on there. But when he does his punch super, when he turns into the Mega Man, you know, I swear him down, he says, it's the goody mob. He's like, it's the goody mob. What's up?
Mega Man represents.
It's crucial.
I mean, hey, you never know. Maybe break into the rap.
Yeah, I thought maybe he's trying to get into the rap game there for a little bit. But I was like, it's the goody mob, yo. But he probably isn't saying it's the goody mob. And you're noticing, too, it's completely, like, they've changed it a little bit. They did something to it. So it doesn't sound like that. Either. I'm not sure what they did to it, but it sounds different from the first game. Also, I like Strider, even though Strider doesn't do a whole lot of talking. I like Strider stuff. When he calls orbs. Or Boros. Actually, Blackheart's one of my favorites, too. Based on sound files. Because he just kind of laughs at you.
Reminds me of, I mean,
and says Armageddon.
Bison or Vega, whichever one you're playing. Anything.
Team Giggles.
He's the one that always got me because... It's not that the fact he's giggling when he's on screen and, you know, and saying things such as, that hurts, which I know that's not what he said, but I swear it sounds like he said, that hurt. But it's the fact that when you tag him out, that he's still talking, although he's nowhere to be found anywhere on the screen. He just keeps talking.
He done jumped off screen, but he's still talking to you.
It's like, damn, Bison, how much screen time or voice time do you need?
Well, the voice actor for Bison is also the same voice actor for Akuma, but who has since died. So, they definitely, I don't know if they're going to change it or whatever, but you notice the voice for him has really not changed over time. If you notice, they've kept Akuma's voice exactly the same way. In every game he's appeared in since Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, his voice has been the same. Because... the guy died in like the mid-90s or something, or the late 90s, right. One of the two. He died in, I think, the late 90s. But his voice acting has not changed. They still got him, like screaming and crap in like Street Fighter 3 and in, what's the game where he does the chop? Capcom vs. SNK. And 2. He does it in Capcom vs. SNK 2 for that super. But, I like to think that the voice acting is probably going to be really good because Capcom generally does a very good job with their voice acting, except for their announcers.
Exactly.
Their announcers, it depends on what game it is, but the announcer is intentionally crazy or he is really out of place with the game or he's really bad.
Right.
Like that one in 4, I'm not digging the announcer in 4. But the one in Alpha 3 was crucial. Beat him up, guys. Go for broke. I played a lot of Alpha 3, too, if y'all hadn't noticed.
The only announcer I really liked was on
I loved him in the original Street Fighter 2.
Marvel Superheroes versus Street Fighter.
That dude was passionate about what was going
because
on.
Because he brought energy to that game.
Yes.
And the guy had to pronounce every single super that was possible in that game.
And he made it sound very, he was very enthusiastic, like he was out there watching and everything, and it's like, is it Shinko Hotoken? Yeah, he won, yeah, and I mean, that's why, like, if they bring that kind of engine or anything, I mean, the announcer's great. Other than that, only thing they gotta say is someone to next round, next fight, round two.
You win.
Yep, that's
perfect.
Exactly.
I played a lot of Street Fighter 2. Well, and I also really like them because Street Fighters, and this is how you know how to pronounce character names. Street Fighters announcers always correctly pronounce names. They never say Ryu. They don't call him Ryu.
They call him Ryu.
Or they, sometimes it depends on what version you got.
Exactly.
They'll just say you. So everyone thinks they're just saying you win
right.
if you play with him. But they're actually pronouncing his name correctly. It's you. The R's in Japanese are not pronounced at all. So it's either you. Now, if you're going to Romanize it, you can say Ryu because we do
right.
pronounce R's.
Right.
But it ain't Ryu.
I don't know
it ain't,
why. We
it
say
ain't Gie. Or Gilly. Who else did they screw up? It was Gilly. I heard all kinds of stuff.
Someone said
Gee. Well, it could be Gee. Sometimes it is Gee. It depends on where you are. If you're talking about Guy, it can be Guy or Gee, depending on where you are. But most times it's probably Guy.
Some people say Dai Sim.
It's Dalsim. It is not Dalsim.
I don't know why people say that, or even.
But nobody had ever pronounced it in the game. They didn't say Dalsim. They never said anything.
Exactly. It's just actually the only thing they said originally was just the countries.
Yeah, it's just the countries. They would go say India, or Brazil. They would not say Brazil like we would say with a strong southern accent. It was Brazil, like that.
Right.
But that's how I learned different countries, actually. When I first started playing Street Fighter, that's how I learned different countries. That's how I learned that India, the people in India, Indians, revere elephants. They're revered sacred animals there. Cows are, too, if I'm not mistaken. They don't eat cows there. Let's put it this way, you can't kill a cow there and get away with it. Like,
exactly.
They do not like that. Monkeys, too. Monkeys are revered creatures there. But that was how I found that out. And that dudes like to choke the chicken there in China, in Chun-Li's background. Some games, they call her Chun-Li.
That's what I also noticed that from way back
Super Turbo.
In the Special Championship.
Yeah,
edition.
Super Turbo does it. They'll call her Chun-Li. It's not Chun-Li. Let me think. Huh?
There's no G at the end.
Yeah, it ain't Chun-Li neither. Or Fate. I'd even heard Feilong.
Or Feilong.
It's actually Feilong. Who else was it? It was somebody else. Oh, Sagat. It's not Sagat. It's Sagat. It's Sagat.
And I was thinking it was always Sagat.
Mm-mm.
See, and most Americans would think
Think that.
And if you say Sagat, and they have no idea who you're talking about.
Yeah. If you say Sagat, and they pronounce it Sagat. If you listen to it in certain games.
And you have to think Full House for it.
Bob Saget.
For Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And that's why everyone thought that's how you said.
Yeah.
Well, actually, he pronounces Saget. It's Bob Saget. But it's pronounced in their language.
Right.
It's pronounced Saget. Like that. I read it on somebody did an excellent, and I want to say it was the guy who was so prolific with the facts on Game Facts. That died. Oh gosh, what was the guy's name? Did all the. I can see his name. His name is Chris McDonald. You know him. He did all the game facts for fighting games. His facts were highly respected. Because he did so many, but then he, like, died. Nobody ever would say how he died. But he did pronunciation in all of his facts. Because he was interested in the language, apparently. And so he was the one I looked at and I learned how to pronounce all the names. But the where I heard the names, Super Turbo. Super Turbo was one of the first ones in the Street Fighter group that actually said the people's names.
Right.
It's Akuma. It's not Akuma.
Exactly. It's Akuma. Strange how they do that. I mean.
And Goki. It's not Gooky. It's Goki.
Yeah, and that's like why sometimes they have it messed up sometimes. I think.
And we understand that some people think, okay, when you say Akuma, some people may think like an empty room somewhat. I mean, there's a different translations. Yeah. But in a way, it's how which system and for which version, for which country.
Yeah.
And I think frankly, Capcom will do, this is my personal opinion. Hopefully Capcom will be a little more clear on translation. I mean, they should.
They're not gonna do that because ultimately they don't care. Educating the people is not gonna make them money.
We're not saying educate the people. We're just basically like, okay, make sure it's done with some respect for the characters.
They do that regardless.
Yeah.
Actually, and I really want our friend Jamie, when we see him again, which will probably be in a couple of months, when he comes back to the States to visit from Japan, I want him to run through a pronunciation guide for me of exactly how you pronounce these things in Japanese.
Yeah.
I want to know what it is supposed to sound like in the language. He's fluent in the language. I mean, he lives there, you know, like full time. He lives there and teaches. I want to know what is it supposed to sound like from someone who is a fluent speaker. So, yeah, that'll be interesting when he comes back. But anything else y'all want to see in MVC3? Anything?
Good question. That's a good question. I think for right now, I mean, we want to see more characters. Who's gonna be brought in? I mean, so far we've seen stuff on the trailers. We already know we got a couple characters coming in, but we also want to know what type of the stages, how they're going to be set up, how they're going to be drawn. Would there be bonus stages? Like in Street Fighter, to test out your power. Well, it would be not. Yeah, probably not. But it would be interesting what type of stage you'll put it in. Also, it's based about more characters. So far, we've seen about a couple. I mean, I've seen this not just on the web page, on their website, but on a couple others that looked at who was looking at the game. We've seen the silhouettes of characters that we know that could be in there. And that's on both sides. But it would be interesting if Phoenix Wright came into play.
But what would he do?
That would be interesting.
He would be a joke character.
Yeah, probably as a supporting character. That's my thinking. But I wouldn't say not as a real fighter.
I don't think they have a support character from this one since they already said it's going to be 3-on-3. Like Marvel vs. Capcom 2. So I definitely don't think it's going to be support characters on this one. I think it's going to be, you know, from now until the game comes out, everyone's going to be trying to guess to see who exactly is going to be on the game. But, you know, Capcom will just slowly leak that out. So, that's all I'm saying.
Let's see, for me, if it's on, and again, I'm going to take it back to promotion. They got to do, if Capcom and Marvel wants this game to really sell, be promoting it. I mean, not just with ads, starting out with contests. I mean, basically put out, actually go to the public and say, how we should promote this game. What do you want to see, what needs to be brought out? Because what happened is, this game was basically shipped worldwide. Each region will have special events or promotions for that region's version of the game. And like before we got on to the podcast, and we were basically talking about how Capcom does their games in Japan instead of the U.S. I mean, we know in Japan, they will actually go full support. And base any
major company that wants to get a tie into this game, they'll be out there getting things tied in. Here, you get a couple of ads on, say for instance, like WWE.com, World Wrestling Entertainment, or Spike TV, or G4, but yet you don't hear about the contest or what they're doing. I mean, you also want to, you basically want, people want to get some extras. I mean, of course, it's how you set up in Japan, like, hey, this is a U.S. only edition, and this is a Japan only edition, but again, if Capcom and Marvel, they got together, they got the PR teams to pull it off, and they do it right, it's big time, it's golden.
Nothing else for you?
No, I mean, I think once they announced that, you know, they were doing Marvel vs. Capcom 3, which I believe they've been working on since they started redoing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 with the new slightly artwork.
Yeah, they confirmed that in an interview. Keiji Inafune confirmed it, that they've been working on it since 2007? 2006, 2007.
And I think the only thing they were doing then is when they released Marvel vs. Capcom 2 for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360, once they seen, got the stats and seen how many people were throwing on there, how many people were downloading this per day, week, and things like that, you spread those numbers around, then Marvel's like, okay, go ahead and reveal it to the world. Make up a little something, you know, show the people that, you know, we listen to the fans. So I think that's what they did. As soon as the trailer came out, they didn't even have to announce it. They didn't say, you know, we're going to reveal this new game. And as soon as they showed the trailer, you already sold 3 million right there.
Yeah.
So, I think that it's going to be interesting seeing how many people are going to be on that. Well, obviously, you know, if you know the favorites are going to be on that. If you see you, and we've seen you, you know Ken's going to be on there. Can't have those two without having Akuma.
Oh, God.
Captain America, although I'll be extremely disappointed if Captain America's not on there. But I can understand, since, you know, they killed off Captain America and brought him back. But still,
he was in the trailer.
I can understand.
He was
in, yeah. Captain America was in the trailer. Yeah.
I've seen him in the trailer.
Yeah. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, I do believe, remember, I remember seeing him.
And to me, I'm basically with Jamie. It's basically about what's going to happen. I mean, with Capcom, I mean, would they get together, they actually make this game, bring the characters in, who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. I mean, it's just exciting when those two companies get together. I mean, first they did at Capcom and SNK, but I'm thinking sooner or later, if it gets really successful, as I said before, this is a dream, my dream match for a game, a three-way or a four-way, the Capcom versus Marvel versus SNK, or Capcom versus Marvel versus SNK versus DC Universe. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be interesting to see if Capcom actually did a DC Universe versus DC Comics. Mm-hmm. But then again, only time will tell if this will work out. But I think for right now, with Capcom and Marvel versus Capcom 3, it's going to be big. Because when people hear about this, they are going to be flocking to get pre-orders to GameStop. They're going to go to GameFly. They are basically going to be pounding, probably, in some cases, die-hard fans will be camping out at the local retailer, ready to be the first ones to buy it when it comes out. Mm. But, again, I think I got some... Capcom and Marvel knows the stakes are big, and I think they won't let the people down.
Yeah. I don't really care about what they put in it. So long as they don't, you know, screw up the game too much. But I think as long as they realize that their fans are, like, waiting for this, then, you know, I think they'll do what they need to do, and they'll do it right, because people have been waiting now 10 years for this. So I think they'll know what to do, and they'll get it right, and it will be good.
Well, yeah.
It will probably turn out good.
Remember Marvel and Capcom, no pressure, just make sure, no, just going to keep in loop that fans have been waiting 10 damn years for a third repeat. So,
yeah,
no pressure.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about it for us for episode 16. We'll try to be back with an episode in a couple of weeks. Don't know what it'll be about right now, but we'll try to figure out something. Thank you for listening, as always. Check us out. We've got our webpage up, and we're working on the third quarter 2010 right now. Second quarter is already up, but expect to see some new content in a couple of months, probably around July or so. We've got big stuff planned for the summer, such as our GI Awards and E3 2010. So look for us to have that content up in July, the very beginning of July. But, you know, as usual, come back and listen to us each week. See if you find something you like. If you don't, let us know. If you do, let us know. Thanks for listening.